There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm too pretty to go to jail.
That's what I say. I'm too pretty to go to jail. This is the Dutch Jones radio program, and on your screen is Ruger the Wonder Puppy, the new co-host of the show. Oh, he took a nap. He's sleeping on the bed. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Sorry about the buzz. I'll see. Wait, maybe if I do this. That gets rid of some of it. We're using mobile computers in a mobile situation, and we're doing the best we can, and that means the phone number changes. But let me tell you who I am and what we're doing. I'm Dutch Jones. Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet y'all. Come on in, sit down, help yourself to whatever's in the fridge. Just don't put your feet up on the milk crates. We call a coffee table.
I'm surprised you don't have those either.
Lou, you're rocking the whole boat. You got to take your computer off. Take your computer off. It's bad. There we go. That got rid of the buzz. Can you put it on your lap for an hour? He's gonna suffer.
Something
for him to put it on, because he makes the microphone just buzz when he's on there. I love live radio. I love remote radio, and that's why we do this. We're on the road because it's the Thanksgiving week. Which we are called to give thanks to the Lord above for all that He has done to make us, to make this nation, to make our families, to make everything we see. That's what we do. And it's not Turkey Day week or any of that kind of stuff. It's Thanksgiving. It is a Christian holiday, and we talked about that. And what you get here is your, look at this. They're trying to bring in all kinds of pieces of furniture. On your lap. It goes on your lap. Go around the front. Okay, this is going to get interesting. We should have done this before we went on the air. There we go. Oh, Lewis is lucky. He's got this big black piece of furniture on his lap now. It's a computer desk. This is a Christian militant worldview. A lot of people are just dropping in and tuning into this. You guys are doing your job, you regular listeners. We're heard all over the world, all over the world. We may have a small but desperate audience, but we do the best we can. Why are you holding his headphones? Why can't you wear them? Okay, well, here, move closer. Move closer there, buddy. Don't sit on the puppy. And sorry, this is like the worst show start we've ever had. It's like all messed up, but we're just trying to bring you good quality programming here at PBS, the Patriot Broadcasting System, and that's what we're doing. Okay, Lou's just discovered a keypad light, and he's good to go. So we can go now. Are you ready, Lou? Can I start the show now, Lou? Lou, look at me. Give me the sign.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And we do this Monday through Friday. We usually do 2 hours, but for the Thanksgiving holiday, we're just doing 1 hour. We've got stuff going on. Things are busy. We're doing what we can, and we're just going to jump right into it. The phone number to call in is a different phone number, and only use it for today during the live show. It's 5:05 p.m. Pacific time. If you call this number any other time, you're going to get some really angry people picking up the phone and screaming at you. Isn't that right, Grandma? 559-875-0827. That's 559-875-0827. And the phone is hooked up. Let me make sure here. I think you can hear that. I know I can. Okay, and maybe I'll turn it down a little bit. But we'll play with it a little bit when you get on, so give me a second. We're mobile. It's normally we struggle, but when we're mobile, we struggle more. There's so much you guys want to talk about. I got so many emails, but let me start out with what we did over the weekend. I promised you guys I would share with you what our training was going to be. And then I told you that we were going to do a Recon by Force of a Muslim Event, which we did, and all of us survived, and it went well, and I'm going to try and get that in the next hour. And then when it repeats, please, the folks that are listening on Liberty Tree Radio, stay tuned. If it loops or if you come in the last couple minutes of this broadcast, it'll loop around, and I'll make a mention then again. So it'll only be 1 hour. Olima, so just so you know, when you're recording, only 1 hour. I'm trying to give our staff a break here for the holidays. We may do 2 hours tomorrow. I may come on at noon tomorrow and do some music and some stuff. I've got some free time now. We're on vacation, right?
Right.
So we went Saturday. We got up at 5:30. We were going to go. The destination was up in Yosemite National Forest. I don't know if it's National Forest or Park. Doesn't really matter. But it was pouring rain when we got up. It was hailing in places. It was snowing. And we got to about 30 miles from our location. The sky opened up, and it was the most beautiful, crystal clear mountain day I've had in a fall month in years. I mean, it was great hunting weather. It was about 50 degrees. I actually overheated and stripped down to a long sleeve t-shirt and my underoos, running around in full tactical gear with my muumuu on. There's some people. There's a person that was here in the room, and it's up to them to talk about whether or not they were there. I'm not gonna. But we had a great experience. We went through DFT training. It's dftraining.net. dftraining.net. Our instructors were Rudy and James.
Jim.
I keep saying James. I'm all proper, sir. Jim's was a Navy SEAL. He's 70 years old. He served multiple tours in Vietnam, hunter killer teams. And the advice that we gained, the learning that we got, was well worth $100 a day. Yeah, it was $100. We did patrolling. We did reaction to ambushes. We did peel left, peel right, Australian peel. We did some tracking stuff, very, very little of that. They even had some dummy grenades for people that had never thrown a grenade. It was kind of fun. How'd you do, Lou? I can't remember. Did you hit the target with the grenade? Did it roll in? Or?
Yeah.
You did good? I couldn't remember. I was like, I don't know what I was doing. The highlight of the day for Lou and I, of course, not that I didn't learn anything from any of it, but we did the silent sentry removal with these large Gummiputens, which is German for rubber dummies. If you want to see these, I think I may be able to post the link to see the pictures, but I can't because I have to make them open to anybody, and I can't do that right now. Let me. If you're not on Facebook with this, it's kind of hard. Let's see if I can change it so you guys can see some of the pictures that we were doing, because I'd really like to do that. Okay, let's do everyone for right now. For just now, everyone can see our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, for a limited time only, everybody can see our Facebook page. I'm going to post that. I'm going to have you go to the pictures, and you can see some of the stuff. Well, we were doing using a knife, a pistol, not shooting them, but crushing the back of their skull. Huh? Yeah, we got one picture, I think, of that. And then garrote, but we use, like, you know, a white clothesline. And bare hands, takedowns from behind. And it was pretty amazing stuff. It's been a while since I've done it. Let me find my website here. I'll put it up there. Now, if I take this thing and put it in the room, it'll do it, right, Lou? The URL, the URL. Okay, let me go to UBA. There we go. Control-V. Here we go. Go to that link that I just put up, test it, Lou, make sure it works, and if not, you make it work. And you'll be able to look at pictures. There's an additional training on there, but if you go to, like, the bottom 25 or 30 pictures, you'll see Saturday's training.
It makes you sign in.
It makes you sign in?
Facebook,
yeah, that's kind of weird. I wonder why you have to sign in if anybody can see it. Sorry, guys. Only the people that have Facebook can see it right now. I don't know a way to do it. We'll have to put up a photo gallery on the regular website, but Lou is so overworked right now with everything he's doing, and the computers aren't keeping up with us. The computers are dying faster than we can keep them replaced. But let's focus on the training that we had. We got to DFT classroom training first for a little bit. He gave us the six S's of camouflage, shine, speed, shadow, silhouette, shape, silence, and then there was a seventh one that we added later was speed. Yeah, and smelling, there was S, scent. We kept adding it. We kept coming up with more. One of the biggest problems with patrolling is everybody wants to go real fast. Now, I was on a three-man fire team. I volunteered to take point just because I figured, you know, if somebody's going to look stupid first, it might as well be the guy who makes all the jokes. So I went out, and we were the mission was to seek out ambush sites upon this trail that was up in the mountains here. We were about 2,500 feet. It was deciduous and pine tree, very dense. You think of it as it's open compared to triple canopy jungle, but everything was brittle. Even though it had rained all night, everything you stepped on cracked. Everything you walked through. Just you're the guy in the digi camo? You weren't in digi camo. Yeah, that was the instructor, you liar. It was already lying. And we went through this brush, and it was just terrible. We snuck up on deer and quail and four or five marijuana growers. No, I'm just kidding. We had our airsoft rifles. It's funny, I put the pictures up, and there were people from other countries going, "Why is the muzzles of the weapons orange?" And I said, and this is what I told a bunch of them. I said, "Well, we're so good, we want to give the enemy that advantage of seeing us, a little chance of seeing us coming." And they were like, "What?" And I, you know, thought I was really cocky. I said, "No, it's the law. If a weapon looks, if a play or a training weapon, we don't call them, they're not toys for us. If a training weapon, it looks real, you have to have the orange muzzle on it." Which I suggest everybody gets orange spray paint and spray paints their real weapons when this thing goes down, so it looks like you got airsoft, and they'll leave you alone. In reality, the instructor said, "We're doing this with airsoft instead of real weapons. In case the sheriffs come up, they don't download in their pants when they see like 10 guys all with..." Yeah, I just cleaned it up.
There was a car that went past us. From
there was? I didn't know. You guys had a drive-by? What are they doing here? So we just walked through the area, got to see it, and we all got to take... Everybody took turns being in the, you know, middle, the rear. And I'm here to tell you, and it's... You know, it's been 25 years since I've done any of this stuff seriously, and I'm really out of shape. But it felt good to do it. Here it is 2 days later, and my quads are going, "You jerk! I hate you!" But that's what we've been doing. You know, I'm trying to get my muscles anyway. You know, we're going to the gym, so we're doing that. And even an altitude change of 1,500 feet, I felt it in my lungs. So that's how wimpy I am. So it just means I got to double my efforts. And don't squish the puppy, Lewis. You're moving the puppy. You sit on that puppy. Mom's going to spank you with the puppy. No, it's okay. It's okay, Stace. She's all protective of the puppy. You're not the little baby in the family anymore, Lou. It's the puppy. Yeah. You've been not replaced.
I'm moving
it. No, he's gentle. Lou's the most... Anyway, I'm going to get into this. Okay, enough on the puppy. I shouldn't even have brought it up. But we did the patrolling. The key thing that we learned, the two things that we learned is practice. Which is teamwork. Your hand signals are critical. I was real impressed. The other team had some problems because they had a guy that didn't know us. They just brought some guy in to kind of round it out. And, Batbag's wondering if I can say faggot on the air. No, I can't say faggot on the air when I'm at Grandma's house. Yeah, I can say fudge packer, though, but I can't say faggot. That would be inappropriate. But learning to work those hand signals effectively and getting it down to where they're just slight, and how to use them properly, not silhouetting them so, you know, they give up your position, stuff like that. But you can't do that with people you don't know, and you can't do that without fellowshipping. You can't do that without consistent interpersonal relationships and strong bonds. And you get that in a Christian militia. Even people that lived 4 hours away that have trained with us before came in, they still augmented and fit right in. And I really like that. We had some people that are permanently with us that don't fit in real well because they don't practice, but we'll work on that. We're going to pull everybody up to at least a minimum level where we can function within our own garrison together. And that's the cool thing. By taking this class from DFT, we took a lot of notes. We did a debriefing the next day on what we learned. For the whole church, it was available. And we can do this on our own. Once you get the basics down, you can practice it. Yeah, you can teach away ignorance. You can't fix stupid or lazy. Now, yeah, I'm going to be straight up. We got one or two guys that love the church, love the Lord, love the militia, but I'm not going to let them be behind me with a weapon. But that's how you find it out, by training. There's a role for everybody. You know, in the rear with the gear, digging latrines, whatever. You know, if they want to be part of the solution, you know, they got to be willing to take their position. There are some people that are untrainable. And the biggest thing is there are people that are only untrainable because they don't want to be trained. And that's where you figure this stuff out. You can see arrogance. You can see people going, "Oh, I'm just here to brag. Or the opposite. I don't want to risk looking stupid, you know, so I'm not going to get involved. I would much rather have somebody get involved and fail than not get involved because they're afraid of it. Like Lewis. Lewis had, other than the stuff I've taught him, other than the stuff we've done on, you know, watching videos, Lou, you didn't have any concept of what we were doing, did you, Lou? You never even, you thought we were just going to go out there and shoot each other with airsoft guns, right? Yeah, that's what he thought. You know, and I let him think that. I kind of knew what it was when they told us ahead of time that it was going to be, you know, squad tactics and stuff. So I just let him go in there with no expectations, and he did great. Once he figured out left from right under stress, and I'm not doing that to make fun of him, that is one of the hardest things you can do under a stressful situation. When I was 17 in the Army, and they'd go column left, column right, and I was in the front of the squad, I hated it because I'd always forget left and right, left and right. You know, peel left, peel right. But once you practice it, you remember. Am I covering the left side of the column or the right side of the column? It's all good skills to get. And the only way you're going to get them is training. And you take a couple professional classes and you apply them to and change them. Like the hand signals, they don't have to be universal. They do not have to be universal. We make up our own. And that other guy was a little confused. I think he was a spec ops guy. He was young enough and really in shape and... Yeah, he was doing all of his stuff real fast, and Lou's like, what? He wasn't holding the signs fast, you know, still, because you don't want to move that fast in the brush. That may work for a SWAT team guy, but if you're in the brush, everything's slow. Everything's subtle. And the stuff that I remember from patrolling, 200 yards could take you all day if you do it right. You know, especially in triple canopy stuff. And don't think for a minute that it's real easy to throw on all your gear and just run up the hill behind your house and not be detected. It's loud, especially if it's not raining. That's why I was hoping it was going to rain, because at least in the rain it hides the sounds of the fat guy running through like a rhino through the brush. You get stuck on everything, you fall on everything, you break everything on the ground, leaves everywhere. And then the alternative is, do you go down the trail? Well, we did go down the trail. We did some trail crossings, practicing in the proper way by sending one person across real fast, stopping and listening. You could listen for 5 minutes and then decide, okay, safe for the next guy, and then you keep moving that way. And then when you see a danger area, you give the sign for danger area. Everybody drops. The second man in the column goes and investigates it. Well, the point man provides security. And that's not written in law. That's just the way you do it. Like, we've been trained, and I've been trained before, to use V formations in open areas. They were teaching us column, you know, and then you peel left, peel right, depending on where the contact is. Communication was key, letting the next man know you were moving so you don't leave him out there alone, Lewis. How many times did you leave me out at point alone and take off because you forgot to tag me? Two or three times. At least you admit it. And but that's the best time to make mistakes. When we're using airsoft and not real rounds. Yeah, out of like 600 tries, you only messed up two or three. I messed up a few times in the peel-offs, and they were like, it was, muscle memory is gone. Because I weighed, you know, 140 pounds then. Now I weigh about 258, 260. But the memory was there. The intellect was like, oh, this feels familiar. This feels good. The only thing they changed is they want muzzle up. And that's weird to me. Putting your muzzle up as you peel off to run back while your next guy covers you in the column, I did not like that at all. I'm more of a muzzle down guy. It's easier, as Lou put it. Muzzle down is a gross motor. Muzzle up takes, you know, two arms and running and holding, and it's just creating more targets. I don't like it. And then you're going to put it down again, and it's not in the ready position. But that's fine. You may have five different instructors and get five different ways of teaching, but you hybrid them. And you put them together to come up with something that works, something that's better, something that's good. the other thing that I learned, and I think is more important because it was a reestablishing of things that I already knew. And I agree with you, Batfag. Going up from the muzzle-ready position is easier to aim than coming down. Because you're not seeing the target as you're coming down. The weapon is blocking your view. Excellent point, Batfag. You know, unless you're coming off on the side. It's just not natural, but you've got your eye on your target with the weapon down. If you guys could see me, you'd think I was really cool the way I'm holding my fingers and hands. Bringing it up, boom, there's the target. And you can start firing as soon as you see his leg and stuff in your target. You can unzip him. It's more natural. That was the only difference I had with Rudy, but that's okay. That's fine. You know, it may be the Austrian way. My way is the redneck mountain poacher way. And that's just my way. When I decide to have my own school and do it, then I can come out there and go, whoo, I'm going to do it. The other thing that we learned was, and you guys are going to laugh at me, it's possible to have too much gear. Remember I always say you can never have too much gear, use what you got, take it off if you don't need it. But the tactical vests, the fanny packs, the multiple pouches we had on us, and the guys wearing body armor and stuff and full backpacks was too much for just a short patrol. Now, if you're going out on a 7-day LPOP, watch a trail, something like that, you're going to have to bring some stuff. But for actually going out on a search and destroy mission or securing the space around your perimeter that you can't see, less is best. And it's all common sense. I mean, we've all said it. Everyone in this room that's ever had any martial thoughts knows that the Viet Cong had it figured out. The Apache Indian had it figured out. You know, the American Rangers during the American Revolution. Quiet clothing. Nylon is just terrible. Drags across everything we touched. Made loud noises. The Velcro. Oh, I love it. Both I and one of my other teammates, whenever we transition the rifle from left to right for cover, the stock of the weapon, because we were wearing identical vests, would hit on one of the pistol magazine pouches on our upper left. You go, and you could hear it a mile away. And the instructor was like putting his head down. Velcro is terrible in the brush. Might be great for kicking indoors, might be good for manning a roadblock. There you go. Minuteman saying, my thought was train hard, fight easy. I had no problem with my load. Yeah, you moved around great with your pack, but everything within a mile hurt us because the pack banged into stuff, straps hanging off of it. And I took off my pack after that first part because stealth was more important. Now, if we were taking a road or something... Be okay. What? Lewis noticed the swivels on her rifle kept squeaking. If you look at all of my rifles, I wrap those in jute or something to keep the swivels from making noise. You never realize how loud your gear is until you're trying to sneak through a creep in the woods. Period. Because every animal will hear you and react to it. The animals will stop sound, which will give away your position, or they will flee, or they will make more noise depending on the species. So, you've got to fine-tune what your mission is being. Now, Minuteman saying he wanted to train hard. Great. Put rocks in your rucksack, all that kind of stuff on a road march. No problem. But as long as you know that if your commander says you three men are going to go out 100 meters exactly, and then you're going to make a hard left, go due north, and you're going to find a trail, and you're going to snatch the first person that comes down that trail and then come back here. You want to be able to sneak into that position. But you also want to bring with you claymores, whatever you can in that situation. But as a guerrilla, we're not going to have that stuff. So the clothing you should wear, they were suggesting like tight-fitting, dark clothes. It goes back, we were discussing it on the way back, weren't we, Minuteman? It was like hoodies, gray hoodies, things that they'll snag, and you can just stop and undo it. So we're going to go get a whole new set of creep gear, we're going to call it. You know, crawling gear. Well, it's like my ghillie suit is really soft and quiet. You don't hear it, you go through, you go slow. But that's a different level. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about having to patrol, having to go commit to protecting positions or setting up LPOPs, things like that. You don't want all this gear just rattling away. You know, we did the jump up and down test and everything that shook. You know, you can tape or bungee or whatever. But when it really comes down to it, you're going to carry about 300 rounds of ammunition. It used to be 220 when I was in, but now they're saying 300. You can use whatever you want to carry your ammo, pouches, pockets, whatever. I prefer the old LBE. The vest I was wearing was Stacy's, and that's going to go back to her because I'm going back to my LBE. She can wear it all day long because she's garrison. Her job is to protect the house. Her job is to work in the infirmary. Her job is to stand at a roadblock because she's not a frontline troop.
I'm going to go wherever I'm needed.
Yeah. So she can wear a vest with all the medical and all the cool stuff, extra batteries, you know, her little garrote that she likes now that the instructor gave her so she can cut people's heads off. And that's what we'll talk about in a few minutes. And you've got to fit your kit to the mission. It reminded me of a lot of things that I'd forgotten, and that's why training is so good, because these skills are perishable. And it's like... And I'm not saying this to brag, but the pastor pulled me aside and he said, and this is a compliment to Minuteman, he says, you and Minuteman are the two most prepared people I've ever met in my life. I have no doubt that you will survive. I have no doubt that you will be an asset to whatever team you're with. He goes, it just amazes me how much you guys know and how much, you know, you're capable of doing. And I took that as an honor, Minuteman, because he knows a lot of people, doesn't he? I mean, especially in the Patriot business. In the survival business, he's been all over the country. People come from all over. He's known them all. He's been doing this for his whole life. and I'm not saying that to brag, but because it's an example, it's an attitude I have. Our family is a survival family. Minuteman's family is a survival family. The goal is to adapt and overcome, not pick a paradigm and sell it till it's dead because you want it to succeed. You've got to be flexible. Yeah, he said that in the parking lot, Minuteman, right after you left, when he gave me the stuff that you forgot, which is going in the mail first thing in the morning, by the way. Yeah, we boxed it up and everything, but we just ran out. We got to go to the bank again. But it's just amazing to me to have somebody who I respect notice that about us. And it's not because I'm trying to. It's just like, whoo, you know, maybe it's making sense now. Because I kind of gave a spanking at church on Sunday to everybody that didn't go to the training. I didn't really get your feedback on that Minuteman, but I got, instead of teaching a class, because I let Minuteman teach the class because he had his stuff together, so there's really no reason for me to get involved. And I just stood up and gave about a 10-minute pep talk and a spanking. Because there were three people that dropped out of this training for no reason. There were two people that showed up that didn't have their gear ready and were putting it together on the tailgate of a truck when we should have been training. And I said, you've got to get your attitude right. You've got to come to it with humility. You've got to come to it with an eagerness to learn and not say, well, this is something I've done my whole life. You're not going to unteach me. Like the muzzle up thing. He had to yell at me a couple times. I started doing it. As soon as I get back to our compound, muzzle down. I'm sorry, church. They hate it when I say muzzle, when I say compound. Okay, we'll be back after the break. We're going to talk a little bit more about sentry removal. We're also going to tell you what happened when we went to a mosque, nine of us. Stacy's holding her nose. And then we'll be only doing 1 hour today. Make sure when you guys see Ed come in, it's just going to repeat. It's going to repeat because we've got training stuff to do here. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
New world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys.
They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Patch Jones and Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Join me, and together we can strike down this perverse and unholy union.
I like that one. No, it's Airsoft. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and we are talking training. Training attitude. I don't know. I'll talk to you later. Stacy's all interested in somebody else's weapon. I'm jealous. She's all worried about what somebody else bought, not worried about my show. You don't want an AR-15 Airsoft. Well, it's funny. We were just talking during the before the break there. Welcome back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and my show is always being interrupted by Stacy's little... We got to give her own show. Stacy's Wanderings, we'll call it. She can just get on there and throw out stuff. Yeah, for an hour, she can just mumble into the microphone, and I'll walk by every once in a while and go, Dutch Jones. So I get back at her for what she's doing to me. Right when I go on the air, she said, well, why'd he buy it? I want to see it. So we're back. This is Dutch Jones. We're talking about getting the gear you need and having an attitude of, what's the word? An attitude of being humble about training. And it's funny. I was just talking about how I had to spank a few guys Sunday for not getting involved, not making the effort. And I said one of them, one guy in the chat room, if you want to know who it is, you got to go to the chat room, took it well and did well. And the other guy who I thought didn't take it well and left kind of in a huff just emailed me with pictures of the gear he got and said, will this be sufficient for me to continue to train with you? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So that was very nice. I like that when people step up. Maybe it was done properly. I was worried that I may have been mean. But my job is to motivate people. I'm the trainer. I'm the recruiter. I'm the intelligence guy. We only got a few guys, so we all have many hats. And I try to get people excited. And I don't lie about the training. I thought it was going to be miserable and horrible in the rain and possibly snow and the mud and the bear poo everywhere. There's bear sign everywhere. But my goal is to get them to want to continue to train, even if it's not comfortable, even if it's not macho, the type of training we're doing. They're like, oh, this isn't cool. Even though the second training I'm going to tell you about was pretty macho, we were doing sentry removal, and Lou surprised everybody, I think. I'll let Minuteman chat in the chat room. Stacy was just like, this is what you've been teaching my son? I'm like, yep. And he was just tearing these dummies apart with his little rubber knife, and he was a tender little fella until he said go, and then he got this look in his eye. I can't even explain it. He just thrashed on these things in a split second. Somebody made the mistake. One of our own members, who's a little macho, loved the guy, came up to him and tried to stab Lou, and within like a second, Lou cut him three... Yeah, under. He's all bragging, under a second. He just slashed out at this guy, and the guy's like, what? And I'm like, don't you hurt him, Lou. He has to train today. And Stacy's like, don't attack my son. He'll go off. And it's the third time. It's the third time that it's happened that this guy's attacked Lou. And now I think you get the idea. What were you saying, Lou?
He was saying his name.
Yeah, don't give his name out. We don't want his name on the air. We're here to build people up, not embarrass them.
But you know who you are.
So it was good training. The Garrote training was really good. In the Army, they gave us like 4 hours of it and didn't really go into it, and they just basically let us fumble our way through it and see what we could get done and this stuff. But it was pretty good. He went through some of the mechanics of it and why you do it a certain way, you know, where you don't cross your arms over, you do it just regular, looping it over. And if you can see the pictures on Facebook, join Facebook and look for Dutch Jones. You'll see the pictures. Loop it over. Right hand punches underneath the left, which creates the bind on the neck. Turn your back to him and just flip them over your back. Now, if you're using piano wire, it would take the head clean off. Minuteman saying Lewis took to it like a duck to water. He was, I don't know what that word is. I'd hate to be on the other end when Lewis said, what's that word? Phenomenal? Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Thank you. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I read really poorly when I can't see. He was, and it was really good because even the instructor liked it. But that's what happens when you homeschool your kids. Sure, he's going to learn to stab people in public school, but he's going to do it all prison-like and what's the homie type, where you walk up to them while they're not looking and you stab them in the kidneys 40 times and in the neck, and then you stop them and run away. That was the thing that was funny, because Lewis and I have studied, there's been so many, target-focused training, and I studied it before when I was on the border. And when someone's down, you want them to stay down. So I always taught Lou to do the neck and head stomp before you walk away. So he stabbed it. He goes up, puts his knee in the back, pulls the head back, removes the trachea, throws him down on the ground. And then when he stomped that neck, it was like 9 grown men went, because they weren't ready to see a 15-year-old boy do that and then turn around. And then, yeah, that's not in the program. And then he turned around, and then he looked like Lou again. You guys know Lou. He's like, I make jokes about him being a tender little fella, and he gets all mad. But the truth is, he's sitting here treating this puppy with due respect. He treats little kids with due respect. He interacts with people. He doesn't talk very much. He's very quiet. But when he has to, he can shoot your face off at 200 yards, iron sights, no problem. I fight with him all the time for training, and there's a few times where, you know, I'm like, whoa, slow down there, boy. But that's how we have to train our youth. That's how we have to train our youth. There are arrows in our quiver. But you've got to teach them moderation. You've got to teach them control. And like I said, the kindness part. He was already kind when he was a tender little fellow when I met him. I can see the way he played with other kids and stuff. He was a good kid. He didn't take crap from anybody. I was asking you yesterday, Lou, when you were in school, where were you? Were you like a geek? Were you a bully? He was somewhere in between. He got into a couple fights. He mostly told jokes and stuff, but that's the kind of mentality you have to have. Walk an even-keeled life. I know he would never do anything bad to this puppy. That's why we got it. He's going to take care of this puppy. It's part of his training to be responsible for something else. Miniman saying he was a little timid about slapping the person on the peel left or right, but he was doing good. He just didn't want to hurt you. We had to slap the next guy. It's like violent duck, duck, goose. When you're leaving from the firing line, you have to slap the next guy to let him know that there's nobody to his right or left. Huh? Oh, yeah, if you get hit too hard, you can't aim, Lou was afraid of. I slapped this guy so hard it hurt my hand, and I'm like, hey, sorry about that. He's like, well, now I at least know you hit me. You know, I knew you were moving. So there's a moderation in there. But the point I want to make is teach your kids, especially the young men, to be Christian warriors, to be kind in peace and vicious and violent as possible in warfare. Otherwise, you're setting them up to lose. You're setting them up to die. You're setting them up to leave your wife, if the kid's left behind to protect them, dead. It's the only thing I can put into your minds, and people hate that when I say that. If you don't train your kids properly, you're setting them up to die. If you're going to be leave behinds because you fail, because obviously if you don't train your kids right, you're probably going to fail. You might as well just hand them over to the camps. The other training that I didn't like was taking your pistol, holding it in such a way that it was a strike weapon, and just crashing 3, 4, 5 on the cervical vertebrae behind their head. For one, I don't want to get contagious hepatitis all in my pistol. You know, you're going to get it on you if you're cutting them. I know that. But why get grime and grease and skin and hair in your firearm when you go to pull the trigger? Huh?
Unless you can afford a Glock.
I don't know if a Glock would take... Well, a Glock could probably take that beating. The practice gun we had broke when we were doing it. And all around us were rocks, all kinds of stuff. I was thinking, well, I would rather use my entrenching tool, but I didn't have my entrenching tool on, so I was tucking up my butt when I said that. But an entrenching tool, anything like that. Of course, knife sentry, those types of things. You know, everybody's seen those. Bare hands was great, where you do a certain lock around their throat, use your body weight, pull them down, and you hyperextend the spinal column as you're pushing them down and choking them because you're rotating your wrist into them and doing a good clap hand in hand. Stuff that I can't explain to you on the radio. You have to go to DFT. You have to go to dftraining.net, right, Lou?
Yeah.
And tell them, hey, I heard about you from the guy from Kauai, Dutchie Jonesy, and he told me that it was awesome. We just so you know, Minuteman, we set up another training. We haven't got a date yet. It's going to be a one-day garrison defense, and it's by invitation only, folks. And people keep sending me emails, how can I train with you? Well, you have to show us that you took the initiative and went and took a 4-day basic pistol class with a professional. You have to show us that you're willing to sacrifice. There's nothing worse. I figured you would be, Minuteman. There's nothing worse to me than when I come back from training, and this happened to me Sunday morning. I sat down. I had all the... Stacy, awesome. Took, I don't know, 200 pictures combined?
According to my card, it was 744 pictures.
744 pictures. Why? And I went through and picked out about 100 or 200 that I liked. I haven't even been through them all. Yeah, I haven't even been through them all. And I put them in a slideshow, and I was showing them at church on a big screen to show people what they missed. And here's what happened. The people that didn't want to go, people who canceled at the last minute, said, well, what'd you learn? I said, you should have been there. What's that movement there? What's that called? Oh, that's called an Australian peel. What's that for? Get you out of a firefighter in ambush. Well, how do you do it? Can we go up on the field and train? Why should I, Minuteman, and all the other guys, the other, well, there were seven of us? Seven men from our group and then one from another, have paid $100 each and more for all, you can figure, getting there, the gas. Minuteman came from L.A. area. The weapon investment, renting a weapon, the gear, everybody that bought the gear. Why should we then turn around and tell you how to do it when you haven't? Stacy ambushed a guy. He came up and said something because she was demonstrating some of the Garrote. No, she wasn't even doing that. It was just a side thing. And I gave her the Garrote, and I go, Stacy, go take care of him. And he's all like, oh, and she's like, how many classes have you had? I've had way more classes than you've had here. You need to shut your mouth. Yeah, he took a rifle class. That's a two-day rifle class. And we're not doing it to be mean to him. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes public chastisement will shame a man into doing the manly thing. Right? Yeah, it doesn't matter what he said. But it put him into that position where we could correct him and it was good and hopefully he learned from it. Already two people that I was directed at, of the two of them, well, there's actually five. Two of them haven't shown back up to church yet since they said they couldn't make it. But two of them, in the last couple hours, have come to me and said, you know, you're right. I want to be involved. But they still have to do the prerequisites. Now, the Sunday training is still open for January. We're going to be doing FEMA instruction, CERT instruction for fire preparedness, fire suppression. How to use the things that are going to be at your disposal in a post-disaster scenario. It doesn't matter what the thing is. So that third Sunday in December is going to be open to the public. You come to our church, 10 a.m., go to church service with us, eat with us. And we had a good chow this time, didn't we, Minuteman? There was a lot of good food there this time. There's like three different kinds of salads, spaghetti, pizza. Yeah, we brought the pizza. Bread. It's just good food. Come, enjoy us, then fellowship. And then I'll start teaching I'm not going to change the curriculum. I'm going to teach you the actual Community Emergency Response Team Fire Suppression class. And it's going to take us a long time to do it if we're only doing it on Sunday afternoons. But that's, unfortunately, our fellowship reaches wide. We got people in Riverside County, Los Angeles County, San Diego County now, far up north on the coast. Yeah, it was like an early Thanksgiving feast, wasn't it, brother? And it's, you want a fellowship with us? You want a piece of this? People were looking at these pictures today that I put up on Facebook. They're like, I'm in Florida. Well, I've got like five people in Florida that listen to me, and I keep telling, you know, hey, check out, find people, get in the chat room. Use the forum that Lou set up. The forum is a great way. He's going to post the forum. Go to dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info, go to the forum post. We had some people from, is Mary in here? Michigan Mary and a couple other guys, they hooked up together. They're going to start training together just because they saw each other on, I think, my Facebook and this show.
They could always check out their local ones around.
Yeah, well, wherever. But if you have checked and you think there's nobody there, use the forums. Use our forum.
No, I mean training.
Yeah, there's all kinds of training you can do. I really, really, yeah, look for Massachusetts people, folks. We've got Bat Fags, our guy out there on the edge. Behind enemy lines, just like we are. We got a lot of people in California. We just found out about another couple churches in the area, within 500 miles, that are willing to do this kind of stuff. We scare a lot of people off, don't we? But truth hurts. Truth makes people question their own character, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And that's what training does. Training reveals, if nothing else, your weaknesses. I have found that 90% of the men that get involved in this type of martial training had no idea how poorly in shape they were, how bad they have let themselves get, how much they have lost these perishable skills of marksmanship, weapons handling, critical thinking. And then you get the other kind of guys that play paintball all the time, that do bunkering, that rush in, you know, where angels fear to dread because it's paintball. No tactics, No structure at all. And then they come to it thinking, hey, they know everything. And then, you know, sure, they get some miracle shots off. They get to sacrifice and do the great John Wayne death, you know, or whatever. But they're not doing any good for the cause. Everybody did good. I'm always the weakest link, and I wasn't that bad this time. I was able to make it to the end of training. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I highly recommend it. Now, what we may do in the future, I haven't got the approval on this yet, but we may do our own little seminars on Saturdays. If the pastor gives me permission, he's debating it. You guys need to pray on it that the pastor will allow it. But he's worried about bringing people we don't know, that we can't verify their bona fides, to just come up and do drill and ceremony with us. That's all it's going to be. I'm going to teach you how to run around the hills and do the stuff. And Minuteman came to a couple of them where we do them in the park, and he might have a comment on that. But we did the best we could with what we have, and I'd like to do it some more. But there is the risk of bringing people we don't know. You guys know the story. We got rid of one stinking FBI Nazi informant already who wanted to go to this training and was told he couldn't. And I... You don't know who? You don't know who our Nazi FBI informant is?
Oh,
you're doing something else. And so we got rid of him. And he asked to come up for Thanksgiving to hang out, and everybody's like, no, nobody wants you here. But that's okay. There is risk involved, but more for safety. And also, we only want to train the diligent, the people who have paid their dues. That's it. The clarion call has gone out. You're either with us or you're against us. I hate to sound like George Bush, but it's not George Bush who originally said that. It was Jesus Christ. So if you're with us, and even though you're marching by a slightly different beat, you're still with us. Remember when the disciples, and I think I talked about this earlier, the disciples went out and they saw some other guy casting out demons in the name of Jesus, but he wasn't one of the disciples. And they went to Jesus and said, hey, should we go get this guy and tell him to stop? And he's like, no. He's not against us. He's doing good things in my name, so he's with us. We're not 100% on the same page, but he's doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all that matters, and that's what we're looking for. Unfortunately, I'm running into a lot of guys that are Christian in name only. Cinos, C-I-N-O's. They're Christian in name only. They oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, effing yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. And you're like, yeah, I don't mind a man who swears in training. I don't mind going to a martial trainer who swears. But if they claim to be a Christian and do it, and their life is something otherwise... If they're lying to themselves about that, what else are they lying to themselves about? That's all I'm saying. Yeah, Bad Vaccine is going to be a long drive from Massachusetts to California. Eh? Take the train, brother. You can still get here on the train. And we got a train station about 50 miles away. We'll sit there and wait for you. No problem. No problem. And they only search bags over 50 pounds right now. I do. Batfag's asking me a question specifically. I do. I disassemble my weapons, put them in my carry-ons, and take them on. It doesn't say you can't. Yeah, Lou brings weapons everywhere he goes, pens and cones. Greyhound, I used to travel on Greyhound with my SKS taken apart in my duffel bag when I was on leave.
I don't know. I don't think they search.
I haven't had anybody search my bags, and you guys check. And I'm not saying to go break any laws. If they say don't do it, then find some hippies and come across in a microbus or something. But I don't want anybody to break any laws, but if you can get here. And the thing to do, and I was saying this earlier to Lou today, people who get here need to cash weapons here. If they're part of the program, if you're accepted here and you're welcome in and you're part of the body, people need to cash weapons here because that is always an issue. How can I want to go, but I can't. Take the time, go buy a bolt-action Mauser and leave it here. If you have a Unimog, I want you to leave it here. Hint, hint, clue. Just kidding. I got to get you in touch with that Unimog. Yeah, Stacy wants to. I got to get you in touch with that Unimog mechanic. I'll work on it first thing in the morning. And then it means I get the hit. But folks, the training is critical. Last few minutes here, I'm going to talk about the Islam thing. Last night, the Muslim Student Association of College of the Sequoias, a two junior college in Visalia, California, met at 609 West Central, or was it Center?
Central Street.
Which was a veterans memorial building, which looked like an 1800s prison. It had sally ports. It had gates on, or bars on every window, gates to go everywhere except the bathroom. we got there. What this was 60 minutes on Islam. They said they were going to take 60 minutes to convince you that Islam is this nice little happy-go-lucky thing, and only 18 people ruined it for everybody when they crashed their planes into the World Trade Centers. I know. We got there an hour early, as is our custom, and we did a 360 size up of the building. We found all the exits. We watched rooftops. We got the binoculars out. We looked to see which doors were locked, which ones weren't. Stacy reconnoitered the ladies' restroom. And what was going on there was about 150 to 200 Muslims, women, and children having like a giant pizza party before this event, you know, in like a big conference hall. Place was a mess, debris everywhere, food everywhere, kids running around like banshees. Not that, you know, Christian things aren't like that sometimes. It did not look like a weekend church in the park kind of thing. I mean, no, they were Muslims. They were just making a huge mess and loud, and we just wandered into the crowd. And what we did is we planned it this way. We went in separate groups. There were nine of us, and we went in separate groups, four different groups of nine people. You don't need to know the math. And we entered. We tried to sit separate, but we were the only nine people that showed up for this among, about at that time, about 100 Muslims. People were leaving. They had large goons in suits. Looked like they were carrying, but I can't confirm that. They said, oh, move up front, please. Move up front. The place was a mess. The chairs weren't even in rows. It looked like somebody just throwing them out there, like a six-year-old was their caterer. And so we sat down apart from each other, you know, trying to at least give the illusion we didn't know each other, waiting for other folks to show up. A van pulled up with four Caucasian women in it. And oh, welcome, Mike. And it was bizarre to me. You know, they looked in and left because they had, like, people posted out front watching everybody, and that's it. And we went in and sat down, and they were having trouble getting the thing started. They couldn't hook the computer up. They couldn't get the karaoke machine they were using as a PA. The place was cold. There were kids running around, and some kids just stopping and staring at me. I go, hello, what's your name? And they go, they had two children that were horribly burned, one in a wheelchair that was comatose almost. He was heavily sedated. And one kid running around, he was still bleeding through his clothes with bandages all over him. I don't know if they just got back from a car crash. They were in a Pinto and it exploded or something. I don't know. But the kid, that one kid's hands were melted. I thought they were going to say, these are children that was killed by industrial bombs. And I would have said, well, you know, that's terrible too, but who started the war? And so they went on this about an hour. They started late, very apologetic. They gave us gifts. They gave us scarves with the peace sign on it, which I said, I don't want that. It's a violation of my religion. They gave us these little picture frame shaped like hearts, and they gave every man a white rose, and the three women that were with us got pink roses.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay. And then they said questions at the end, and they're showing these clips and videos that are just insulting as all get out, lies. They showed like a sitcom from Canada called Little Mosque on the Prairie. The guy couldn't even use his own computer. I knew Lou was like chomping at the bit, like, and let's do this. And I said, no, just let him suffer. And I leaned over and to Stacy and Lou, I said, I hope this is their bomb maker because he can't even hook up a karaoke machine. And it's funny because in the debrief, everybody thought the same thing. And so he kept messing up. He kept playing and restarting and playing and restarting. We have no idea why. I think it was some kind of mind control thing. Figured if he'd play it for 10 seconds and then hit replay again. They were mostly Canadian. The Canadians must love Muslims. They were all Canadian-produced. They were PBS-produced documentaries. They were heavily edited. They showed a... what was it? Not Episcopalian. What was the female pastor?
I thought you said Presbyterian.
Presbyterian pastor who was up there preaching about how great Islam is and we're all one, serve the same God. And then they showed this insulting comedy skit that somebody made about the Ground Zero Mosque. And they kept saying, it is just a rec center. And they're making all the guys were rednecks and everything in the crowd, and they're doing stupid. And then they kept saying, it's a rec center. Look, I do not. And then they stopped the video and go, everyone angry about the center. It small prayer room, big Olympic swimming pool, basketball courts, laser tag. They're going on and on about how great this site is. And just making, you know, we're just sitting there smiling, waiting for the question and answers. Well, it never got to question and answer, so we started asking. We asked some really good questions. I asked them about the Armenian Holocaust when the Turks killed almost 2 million Christians. And Mike was there, too, and Mike's in the room now, right now, I see. He asked about, well, what about the agreement that they would never, you know, they were, I think he called it Diwali, would never kill Christians. And they said, oh, those weren't Muslims that killed the Christians there. That was secular government. And Mike asked the same question. He goes, you're telling me the Ottoman Turks aren't Muslim? Yes, yes, I'm telling you that. Right then we knew that the Taqi was in place, the lie. They were Dhimini, thank you. Dhimini, Mike, is called Dhimini, D-H-I-M-M-I-N-I. Thank you, Mike. And it was just, they lied about everything. Is it true you don't let your women drive cars? I think Mike asked. And they go, only in Saudi Arabia. And I go, only in Saudi Arabia. And I'm thinking, UAE, Kuwait, all these other places. And they kept saying only 18 people caused this. Only 18 people. And so basically they were saying they're a victim of bad press and a few bad apples. So then Mike and I lit into them about all these attacks that have happened recently. Mike brought up, we talked about the burqa. And they, oh, they're just headscarves. They're not required to wear the burqa. And then we're like, and Lou's like, but when they go to Mecca, they can only lift it up for a little bit, touch the stone. Is that what you said?
That's what he said.
Yeah, and then that's it. It's not Muslim, traditional, just tradition of culture. And then Mike brought up the case where several Muslim women were not allowed to flee a burning building because they didn't have head cover on and they forced them back in, and they denied that. They denied the attacks on 9/11 that occurred in Africa, which killed more than 3,000 people. They denied the attacks in Kenya that I brought up when a church full of people were burned alive because they were Christian. They just deny. And good questions were asked. They behind us, eventually we only had about 11 enforcers behind us. Everybody left. The smell was awful. Stacy was gagging. But we're going to keep doing it. We scared the crud out of them. They had no idea who we were. And we asked them hard questions, which we'll talk about tomorrow. I am Dutch Jones. I want you to have a really good Thanksgiving week. We're only going to do an hour. Ed, if you're in here, just play the repeat. We've got requirements. We can't do 2 hours today. But thank you so much for tuning in. Go to DutchJones.info. DutchJones.info. We need you to help out on the pay. The reason we're doing this is we're running out of money to keep doing it up there. We can't keep the lights on. We can't do it up there. We don't have enough bandwidth. So your donations are desperately needed. I think we're up to $50. We need 500, folks. God bless you and all you do for the holy cause of liberty. Whatever it is, just do it for God. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, and victory belongs to the Lord. We'll be back tomorrow, and for the second hour tomorrow, we're going to have Steve Klein on again. We're going to make that a regular on Tuesdays. We'll be back after this. Oh, and in Thursdays is going to be Pastor Warren Mark Campbell in the 6 o'clock hour for interview. So we'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all.